took a walk through this beautiful world.
Anthony Bourdain became a TV celebrity by traveling the world, indulging in regional cuisine and cooking. Maybe best of all, he'd take a deep dive into different cultures and the people. He used his show Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown to bring attention to the social, political, and economic challenges that people around the world face. Anthony Bourdain took his life in June. He was in France working on the show. His death was a shock. His award-winning program, Parts Unknown, has just won 6 more Emmy Awards this week, and CNN is calling the 12th season the final episodes, and it's premiering this Sunday. Joining us is the longtime executive producer of the show, Sandra Zweig. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How many seasons did you and Anthony work together?
We did the 12 seasons for CNN, but then I was involved with the series prior to this, No Reservations, for 2 seasons.
For 2 seasons, so that's quite a while. I can only imagine this is a really bittersweet time for you to be airing the final episodes after winning 6 Emmys, but without Anthony. Can you explain how you have enough content for an entire series? How does that work in terms of the shooting schedule and how Anthony was working ahead of time?
Well, I mean, we had shot the majority of the episodes for this season before he passed away. And so there was a large amount of content that was already in the can, as they say. Some of it was in the process of being edited. The first episode, the season premiere, was shot in Kenya with Kamau Bell. And Tony had written and done voiceover for that entire episode. Although, there were some pick up bits of narration that they wanted to get, that show was pretty much completed.
Let's hear some of that. This is the one that's on this coming Sunday. And as you say, he brought along to Kenya the African-American comedian W. Kamau Bell. They went to Nairobi together.
First time on this continent.
Yes.
I'm going to be teasing you relentlessly
that's
about
fine.
This, by the way.
Please, yes. As a African-American, there's a lot of talk about going back to this thing of the motherland.
And a seriously radicalizing experience for African-American comics who've come here before.
Yes.
Life-changing, so we shall see.
We're going to hear some of his excellent writing now.
I will admit to a weird, frankly unlovely sense of been here, done that. It's not a good look for me, I know, but there's a mischievous curiosity tucked away in some poisonous part of my brain that's dying to see how Kamau handles the heat, the spice, the crowds, the overwhelming rush of a whole new world, because that's what it is first time. This ain't Berkeley.
And that is so Anthony Bourdain. Did he write all his own narration, Sandy?
He did. I mean, the producers and editors would do a scratch, version of the VO so that they would have something to work with as they were editing. But he rewrote everything. I mean, it definitely was his voice.
And you wanted it to be. I mean, you wanted him to rewrite it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But it also, I can't imagine doing the show without his rewrite, if we just handed him a script that he had to read, it wouldn't have had the same feeling. There were just things that he could add. I mean, some of it historical information, quite frankly, that he was like a wealth of knowledge. Mm. And it was part of what made that location interesting or impactful for him.
And that's why it is not only a culinary travelogue, the show, but also over the years became really kind of a cultural touchstone. It introduced people to different places and people. And then there was the food part. How did that evolve?
Well, I think that was the transition to CNN, I think, was in part because Tony was interested in doing more than what was on the Travel Channel was more of a, travel food. And Tony really wanted to do more than that. He wanted to go to places that maybe Travel Channel didn't have the appetite for or couldn't help with access to. And that was, the transition to CNN also gave us additional tools and resources and people to talk to about some of those locations that, were on Tony's list but had just never been possible to do.
Here's another example, I think, of that. He and Kamau Bell are talking to members. This is still in Kenya. Members of an arts collaborative in Kibera, which is a huge, teeming slum just outside Nairobi.
many Kenyans are working on a grassroots level to take control of their own future. Kibera Creative Arts being an example. Artists and performers from the neighborhood working to support and develop local talent.
What is it like to be a comedian in Kenya? How does that look?
It's so hard to make people laugh in Kenya. Yeah. You imagine these are people who have not paid
their rent.
These are people who have gone without food for some days.
So they come in angry.
Yeah.
Angry and hungry.
Yeah.
So he's talking with members in an arts collaborative there. He also highlighted social and political struggles in the show. Let's hear a little bit of him and Kamal talking to members of the LGBT community in Nairobi.
So how free can you be? Like, are there places in Kenya where you can walk around holding hands with your partner?
You could try, you know. And
are there places you could go where it's not an experiment?
No. I think at all points it's an experiment.
Well, yeah. So where's the threat from?
Sandy, when Anthony was interviewing people like that, people of very, very different backgrounds in different areas, he's big, larger than life, a big voice. How did people greet him? People from other cultures, what did they make of him?
Well, you know, I think it depended on maybe where he was going and who he was talking to. Tony had a great skill of kind of being the, even though he wasn't any longer sort of an everyman, but still he was very open to listening to other people's, you know, what was going on in other people's lives. And
he didn't have to hold forth all the time?
No, I think he was curious. And he walked into these conversations with a certain amount of information, but the conversation was his. I mean, that was one of the interesting things about if a new, you know, producer or director came on, you gave Tony the information and he had the conversation. It wasn't about kind of feeding him things while you're shooting.
You didn't have to whisper in his ear?
No.
What were the technical challenges then of finishing the season without Anthony?
Well, I mean, we are so used to his voice, you know, and just being able to fill in the holes, the historical holes, the political holes, to establishing a sense of place, to add, you know, humor, to add a point of view. Those are all things that Tony did with his narration.
Can you think of an example, maybe?
I mean, I can think of a fairly simple, straightforward example. One of the episodes coming up this season is Indonesia. And there's a complicated political history there that is very hard to get across without someone kind of leading the way and parsing it out. And so we had to find other tools to do that. And then also just some of it just had to fall by the wayside.
I wonder for you and for the other people behind the program, if when you produced these final episodes, if there were elements of the videotape that perhaps you would have cut out, maybe for timing purposes or whatever, but this time, because of his absence, took on more importance since his death.
Well, I think that there were maybe some – I know that there are definitely some moments in these shows that might not have been in a show were he still alive because he made some comments that might have been considered sort of off-camera remarks or something like that. But it added – it just added more of his voice, which is, you know, something that is – we're so used to hearing in his narration.
Can you think of something, Sandy?
Well, in the premiere episode in Kenya, there's a moment where he and W. Kamau Bell are sitting looking out over this kind of vast horizon. Kamau says that – talks about how this – looking at where he is now in his life and being there, you know, just kind of seeing how far he's come, that's sort of an incredible thing for him. And then Tony talks about what it's like for him to, you know, have this job. And he basically says that, you know, the cameras get turned off when we go out and have a cocktail. And he's like, I pinch myself.
Hmm. And that's something that maybe was considered off camera.
Oh, he wouldn't have wanted that in the show.
Mm. You know, one of the things that comes up there is just the idea of how his death surprised so many people because he seemed so engaged with life and the world. And I wonder, since you had a professional relationship with him, if you saw it that way, how what you think?
I mean, I was as stunned probably as anybody else. I never would have imagined it. So.
Well, the final season starts this weekend. Aside from Kenya, where else will you and he be taking us?
Indonesia, as I mentioned earlier. Asturias, Spain with Jose Andres. The Lower East Side. And there are a couple of specials that we're doing also.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. And thank you for what you and your team with Anthony have brought for all these years. Sandy Zweig, executive producer of Parts Unknown. The final episodes begin airing this Sunday on CNN. Nice to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you, too.